I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, what was finished. Our Lord cried in John 19 and verse 30 from Calvary, "It is finished." What was finished? I hope you'll listen very carefully as I bring the message. Our Heavenly Father, I'm coming right close to your heart tonight, speaking on a subject that's very dear to you. And I pray you to help me as I speak to do justice to this wonderful truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, 10th day of the 7th month, actually, to some it was the first month. October was, to some, the Jewish calendar, the first month, and to some it was the 7th month. To say the least, it would be corresponding with our October. On the 10th day of that month, the high priest would take the blood of the innocent substitute that was offered. He alone could do so, and he could do it only once a year. He'll take that blood inside the tabernacle, walking through the outer veil and past the candlestick on his left and the shaped table of showbread on his right. And then to the front, to his front, was the altar of incense, and then there was the second veil called the inner veil. He would walk inside the inner veil. Now all the priests could come into the outer room of the tabernacle where the golden candlestick and the table of showbread and the altar of incense were. But only the high priest could walk through that second veil into the Holy of Holies, that little room 15 feet wide, 15 feet long, and 15 feet high. And in that room was what was called the Ark of the Covenant. This little piece of furniture about the size of that communion table there, the top of it was pure gold. It was called the Mercy Seat. And the high priest once a year would take the blood of the innocent substitute through the outer veil and through the inner veil and in the Holy of Holies. And he would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. Then he would walk out from the Holy of Holies and out of the tabernacle itself and out to the public, and he would lift his hands and he would shout, "It is finished!" Which meant that once again the sins had been atoned for, typically on the Day of Atonement. Now, our Lord was both the offering. He was both the Lamb and the High Priest. As our Lamb, He paid the penalty, and as our High Priest, He intercedes tonight for us. On the cross, our High Priest, after He had paid the penalty for sin, He shouted, "It is finished." Now, what was finished? I called your attention tonight several things that were finished. In the first place, and this is the obvious one, His suffering was finished. He was glad about that. Bible says that He endured the cross. The joy that was set before Him was the resurrection, but between Him and the resurrection there was the suffering of Calvary. And He endured the cross, the Bible says. But now then He cried, "It is finished." That meant that His suffering was finished. He will feel no more the cat of nine tails lashing His back. He will feel no more the nails in His hands and His feet. He will feel no more the spear, and it will never pierce His side again. The crown of thorns will never invade His brow again. He'll never be despised and rejected of men again. And no synagogue will cast Him out. No judge will wrongly try Him. No angry mob will scream, "Crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. Release Barabbas and crucify Jesus." No more lonely nights on the Mount of Olives as He watches the foxes skirt their holes and the birds fly their nest, and the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. No more stones for a pillow. No more kiss of betrayal from one of the 12. No more scribes and Pharisees to annoy Him. Never again will He cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And never again will he look up and see the hand side of God? Has God, for your sake and mine, turned his back upon his Son, as though he would dip his own soul in the torments of hell and pay the penalty for you and for me? Never again to be acquainted with grief. Forever to be praised by his. Turn me down just a bit, please. Just a bit. Never again be acquainted with grief, and forever to be praised by saints and served by angels and adored by his Father. It is finished. What did it mean? It meant that the suffering of Jesus Christ was finished. Secondly, there was something else that was finished. I love this one. Sin's payment was finished. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. The old account was settled long ago on the cross of Calvary. You see, the first person in the Bible who went to heaven was Abel. I've often thought he might have been lonely up there. He's singing praises to God, singing a solo. I wish I'd have been the first one up there. But they'd have shipped me out or put me in the Lisbon band, one or the other. But Abel had been there for these 4,000 years. But actually, he was not in what we call heaven tonight. Turn me down, please, just a bit. It's too loud. And he was in what we call paradise. Now, paradise was a wonderful place. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." But it was not the heaven that we know tonight. It was a place where the saved were staying, waiting for the payment to be made. And that's why Jesus on the cross, the Bible says, he descended into the lower parts and led captivity captive. He went into paradise and took the saints of God from paradise to heaven. So Abel for 4,000 years had been in paradise awaiting this day so he could go to heaven. And so had Moses, and so had Abraham, and so had Isaac, and so had Jacob, and so had David, and so had Noah, and all the saints before Calvary. And when Jesus paid the penalty, think of the joy when he went to paradise and said, "Come on, boys, follow me. We're going to heaven now. The price is paid. Come on to heaven." Please turn me down. This is way too loud tonight. And that's the opposite of up. All right. And so Jesus went to paradise, and he said, "Follow me." The layaway plan is finished. The long wait is over. And the price for sin had been paid. It is finished. What did it mean? Thirdly, it meant that his dread is finished. Now, this is one of my favorite subjects. Every 12-year-old child, in every Jewish boy, when he got to the age of 12, he was taken aside and told by his father what his business was going to be in life and what the work of his life would be. And that boy began training at the age of 12 for his life's work. Well, at the age of 12, Jesus was in Jerusalem, and his parents missed him. They wondered where he was. And you recall the story, how that for several days they missed him and sought him. And finally they found him asking questions and answering questions in the temple. And his mother Mary said, "Son, where have you been? Your father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And Jesus said, "He's not my father." He did not say that in so many words, in those words, but he said, "What? Know ye that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, what was he doing? The Heavenly Father has all, see, Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Mary was his mother, but the Holy Spirit, God, was his father. And so the Heavenly Father had taken the 12-year-old child Jesus, as all fathers did, and we explained to him what his business was. What was his business? "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's come to go to Calvary. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, the apostle said. And the Heavenly Father said to Jesus, "Now, son, I want to explain to you the purpose." Now, up till this time, Jesus had not known why what his purpose was. But now, as a lad, his father said, "Son, I want to tell you that you came to the world to pay the penalty for the sins of man. Now you will never sin because I am your Father, and you have blood that's not tainted by sin. But you will go to Calvary. Now bear in mind, though he was as much God as he were not man, he was as much man as if he were not God. And as God, he came to earth and lived a perfect life. But as a man, he also was tempted all points like we. Now wait a minute. When Jesus was 12 years old, he all of a sudden knew he was going to go to Calvary. Now we're talking about a junior high boy. We're talking about a boy in the seventh, in our school, in the seventh or eighth grade. And in some cases, maybe even the sixth, or if you're like Dick Kennedy, the third. This is not a good night for you, is it, Dick? But I'm saying that here's a 12-year-old lad who all of a sudden knew that he was going to go to Calvary. Now, imagine for a moment as he sat in the synagogue. Imagine when they read Isaiah 53. Imagine when they read he was rejected of men. And Jesus knew as a 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 teenage boy, he knew that he was the one who would be rejected by men. Can you imagine how he felt when it said he'll be a man of sorrows? And he all of a sudden realized that he was to be that man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. And Jesus knew that he would die on the cross. Here's a 13, 14, 15-year-old boy. Every time he went to synagogue, they read some scripture. The Messiah is going to come. He knew he was the Messiah. The Messiah is going to suffer. He knew he was going to suffer. The Messiah is going to be crucified. He knew the Messiah would be crucified. Can you imagine how he felt? And then when they read Daniel 9:26, Messiah will be cut off. He knew that he was that Messiah. The shadow of Calvary loomed over him all during his earthly life. When they read in Isaiah 53, he was bruised for our iniquities. He knew that his body would be bruised. And when he said, by his stripes we are healed, he knew that the cat of nine tails would lash across his back 39 times. That teenage lad, from the time he was 12 to the time he was crucified, the shadow of Calvary was looming over him, and Jesus was aware of that. And then in Psalm 22:1, when the synagogue and the rabbi would teach Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus knew that one day he'd be on the cross. And he knew on the cross, he knew that the Heavenly Father would turn his back on him. And he knew he'd cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you imagine the dread that that boy endured? Can you imagine the fear that even came in that little boy, that teenage boy's life? And then when they got to Numbers 21 and read about that serpent of brass that was lifted high, so that those who had been bitten by the deadly serpent could look at that brass and live, Jesus knew that that serpent on that pole was a picture of him, and that one day he would die on the cross. He knew he'd be rejected. He knew he'd be tried. He knew he'd be convicted. He knew he'd be beaten. He knew he'd go to Calvary. Every pigeon that he saw offered, he knew that pigeon was only a type of him. Every lamb he saw offered as a sacrifice, he knew that lamb was only a type of him. Every ram, every bullock, every turtle dove. And then when they got to Isaiah 52:14, which says his visage was so marred that you could not even tell he was human, Jesus would look at those teenage hands and say, one day nails will be in those hands. He'd look at those teenage feet and say, one day nails will be in those feet. Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't start suffering on Calvary for 21 long years. He suffered waiting for the cross. It is finished. What was he saying? He was saying the suffering was over. What was he saying? He was saying the payment for sin has been paid. What was he saying? His dread of Calvary is over. It's over now. I'm going back to heaven. It'll never happen again because I only have to pay one price for sin. It is finished. What is finished? The suffering of our Lord is finished. What is finished? His payment for sin is finished. What is finished? His dread of Calvary is finished. What is finished? It is finished. Number four, the thing that was finished was the hurt of the Heavenly Father. Now wait a minute, folks, listen to me. Back yonder in the foreordinate councils of eternity, God looked down and saw that man was going to sin. And God, in His foreordinate counsel of eternity, made a plan whereby man would not have to go to hell. Jesus volunteered to go to Calvary. The Bible says that He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And the Bible says that He was, in Revelation 13, 8, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Hebrews 9, 26 says He suffered before the foundation of the world. In 1 Peter 1, 20, it says Calvary was planned before the foundation of the world. And John 17, 24, Jesus said in Gethsemane's garden, Thou lovest me before the foundation. Hey, you listen to me. Can you imagine what would have happened to that dear Sigma family if they had known all these years what was going to happen to their son? Can you imagine how it would have been if they had realized that out yonder one day Greg was going to die, and exactly how he was going to die? Well, God, in His wonderful love, thanks be to God, in His wonderful love, God gave His son. Don't ever minimize that. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And He knew from eternity past His son was going to go to Calvary. And as time fled, the Father knew He was going to have to let His son die. That isn't all. The Father knew that when His son died, He would have to turn His back on us. You wonder how much God loves you? You listen to me. God loves you so much. When His own Son was on the cross, He turned His back on His Son. And Jesus cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? That's how much He loves you. And yet you just piddle around at serving God. The Heavenly Father looked down, watching Jesus suffer. He watched Him betrayed by Judas. He watched the kiss of betrayal upon His brow. He watched the soldiers arrest Him. He watched Him taken to the high priest, one priest, another priest, and to Pilate, and to Herod, and back to Pilate. He watched them beat His son with a cat of nine tails. He watched them drive those nails and spikes in His hands and feet. Hear the Father, when it's all over, saying, the suffering's over. 72 hours, He'll be risen. He's coming home. He's coming home. Abraham says, He's coming home. And Noah says, He's coming home. And David said, He's coming home. And Isaiah said, He's coming home. And Jeremiah said, He's coming home. And the Heavenly Father said, I'll never again have to feel the pain of my son suffering on the cross. It is finished. What was finished? In the first place, His suffering was finished. The second place, sin's payment was finished. The third place, the dread of Calvary for the Son of God was finished. In the fourth place, the hurt of His Father was finished. In the fifth place, the last hope of Satan was finished. Sorry, O Book of Man, your doom is sealed. Satan, your sentence has been given. His doom is sealed. His reign is ended by heaven's coup. His days are numbered. He is consigned to the lake of fire forever. His hopes are dashed. His head is bruised. His sentence is irrefutable and unappealable. The Supreme Court has ruled. His execution date has been set, and the fires are being stoked, and the death warrant has been signed, and his chain has been shortened, and now it is finished. What is finished? The old Booker man's going to die. He's going to be cast into hell, and he's lost. And the seed of woman has bruised the head of the serpent. Finished. It's finished. What's finished? The suffering of Christ is finished. What's finished? Sin's payment is finished. What's finished? The Savior's dread is finished. What's finished? The heart of the Father, the hurt of the Father in his heart is finished. What's finished? The last hope of Satan is finished. It is finished. What's finished? The sting of death has been removed. Folks will still go to the grave, but the grave has lost its sting. Folks will still die. Hey, when Greg passed away, when Greg Sikma passed away, he died, but hallelujah, the sting of death was gone. Jesus said, it's finished. It meant the sting of death has been removed. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Cancer has lost its sting. Heart failure has lost its sting. Leukemia has lost its sting. Parkinson's has lost its sting. Diabetes has lost its sting. Cirrhosis has lost its sting. The hospice has lost its sting. The casket has lost its sting. Glory to God. The cemetery has lost its sting. The funeral home has lost its sting. The mausoleum has lost its sting. And the hearse has lost its sting. And the wake has lost its sting. And the shroud has lost its sting. And the grave has lost its sting. And the vault has lost its sting. Jesus has stomped on you, death. He stomped on you. You're now a vestibule to the land that is fairer than day. Death. You've lost your sting. You may take us, our breath, and our heart may stop beating. But the minute that heart stops beating, we'll be in the presence of Jesus himself. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Death, you're now a vestibule to the land of the unclouded day. You're now a vestibule to the gates of pearl, the river of life. You're now a vestibule to the streets of gold and the tree of life and the presence of loved ones and the presence of Jesus Christ himself. I'm saying, it is finished. What is finished? The devil's been consigned to hell and death has lost its sting. It is finished. What is finished? His suffering is finished. Sin's payment is finished. The dread of Christ is finished. The hurt of the Father is finished. The last hope of Satan is finished. The sting of death is finished. What else? Satan's dominion is finished. And sin's dominion is finished. Its death date is set. Its funeral has been planned. Its term is firm and will end on time. Liquor, you're doomed. Rock music, you're doomed. Playboy and Hugh Hefner, you're doomed. Madeline Murray O'Hare, you're doomed. Bible peddlers that to make a buck will change the Bible, you're doomed. I'm saying when Jesus said it is finished, the dominion of sin is finished. Homosexuality, you're doomed. Abortion, you're doomed. Drug traffic, you're doomed. Hollywood, you're doomed. Cheating, lying, gentlemen's club, you're doomed. HBO, you're doomed. Profanity, you're doomed. Rock music, you're doomed. Bible rejectors, you're doomed. False Bibles, you're doomed. Publishers, you're doomed. Lottery, you're doomed. Casino operators, you're doomed. Liquor stores, you're doomed. Nightclubs, you're doomed. Movie theaters, you're doomed. Liberal churches, you're doomed. Godless education, you're doomed. Liberal seminaries, you're doomed. Sin, your days are numbered. You've been indicted. You've been tried. You've been convicted. You've been sentenced, and your death date has been set. It is finished. What's finished? His suffering is finished. What's finished? The penalty for sin is finished. What's finished? The dread of the Savior is finished. What's finished? The hurt of the Father's heart is finished. What's finished? The last hope of Satan is finished. What is finished? The sting of death has been finished. What has been finished? Sin's dominion is finished. And lastly, it is finished. What's finished? The plan of salvation is finished. The commission will soon be given to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The plan of salvation is finished. I can now turn and shout, there's a way to go to heaven. I can turn and shout now, it's finished. Salvation has been paid for. The debt's been paid. And you can go to heaven. And nobody in this room tonight has to go to hell. You can go to heaven. And if you decide you go to hell, you'll decide to go to hell. I can turn and say, you can have your name written in heaven tonight. I can turn and say, your sins can be forgiven tonight. I can turn and say, you can be justified tonight in the presence of God, just as if you had never sinned at all. I can stand and say, your sins can be removed tonight from heaven's books. I can stand and say, you can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ on your record. I can stand and say, and no more sin will ever be recorded. And I can say tonight, you can become a child of God. You can become a priest of God. You can become an heir of God. You can become a son of God. It is finished. Let me go back to the Day of Atonement again. You understand that when this tabernacle was built, there were 2 or 3 million Jews. Now, you understand that about 500,000 people live in Lake County, Indiana. You understand that there are about as many Jews as people live in the city limits of Chicago. And this high priest walked in this one little old tent in this Holy of Holies and sprinkled that blood. They had no radios. They had no television sets. They had no printing presses to get the word out. And the high priest came out and said, it is finished. And the word began to spread. It's finished. And he told him, it's finished. And he told him, it's finished. And he told him, it's finished. And it spread around the neighborhood. It's finished. And then it spread to the town, nearest little town. It's finished. And it spread to cities. It's finished. And finally, 3 million Jews heard the story. It's finished. The blood has been applied. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you some good news. It is finished. Spread the tidings all around. It's finished. Spread the message of hope. It's finished. Tell the world the blood has been applied. It's finished. Tell the world Jesus has suffered. It's finished. Tell the world the Father has been satisfied. It is finished. And I've got good news for you. If you'll trust what he did and what was finished on Calvary, he'll take you to heaven and you can walk the streets of glory forever and ever and ever and ever. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. What's finished? The suffering of Jesus is finished. What's finished? The payment on sin is finished. What's finished? The dread of the Savior of Calvary is finished. What's finished? The hurt of the Heavenly Father is finished. What's finished? The last hope of Satan is finished. What's finished? The sting of death is finished. What's finished? The Satan's sin's dominion is finished. What's finished? The plan is complete. There is hope for every lost sinner. It is finished. It is finished. My high priest took his own blood that was shed on the cross, entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat. It's there right now. It's there right now. My high priest came out with the blood on the mercy seat and cried, "It is finished." And that means I can stand tonight and offer you a salvation that's real, because it's finished. It is done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me, and I followed on, charmed to confess his love divine. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Tonight, if you've never trusted him, do so. It's finished. You say, what have I got to do to be saved? Nothing. As the little girl came home, got saved one morning, her mother said, "What did you do to get saved?" The little girl said, "Nothing. I just did the letting, and Jesus did the saving." Tonight, you do the letting, and he'll do the saving. Shall we stand? The choir will sing. Leave your seat. Come down the aisle. Say yes to Christ. If you never trusted him, do it now. If you don't know you're going to heaven, I got good news. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. Come and take it. It's all paid for. Come in by faith. Receive eternal life, as the choir sings.